It's not always about the money. Sometimes it's about the family cabin, the photo albums, or making sure your wishes don't cause World War III at the next Thanksgiving dinner. Up next, we're diving into the emotional side of estate planning, because the most valuable things you leave behind can't be found in a bank account. Stay tuned.
It's time to chart a course to the promised land of financial freedom.
And y'all, setting clear retirement goals is a focus.
This is the Prosperity Playbook with Nicole Gibbs.
Let's talk about the green flags.
Helping you raise your money and your life to a higher standard.
All right, welcome to the Prosperity Playbook with our host, Nicole Gibbs. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. And for our listeners out there, before we dig into this topic, if you want to reach Nicole and the team there, call 888-919-0024 for a complimentary, no charge, no obligation consultation. That's 888-919-0024. And Nicole, before we get into talking about this, I have to say estate planning isn't just about the ultra wealthy. We're going to dig into that. But first, how have you been? I know you've been busy. You said you've been doing a lot of working out, things like that, keeping busy. That's good, right?
I literally was traveling, and then this week I'm taking the time to just focus on me and just kind of realign. Started working out about maybe 2.5-3 weeks ago, and it's clearing my mind and it's just helping me focus on my priorities. So some of the things that I talk about on this radio show, Tony, I have to actually do for myself, especially when it comes to my mental.
Physical activity and exercise helps with the mental. And we've talked about that on shows in the past. You always bring that up. So, yeah, sometimes we have to take a little bit of our own medicine, don't we?
Sometimes you got to do the things that you don't want to do. So, and I hate working out because it messes my hair up. I hate, and I can't wear braids because the braids was breaking my hair off. And like, I have to wash my hair like every 2 to 3 days now, but you know what? That's the sacrifice I'm going to make because, you know, I'm 45 years old and I just need to be more focused on my health, you know? So,
but you don't look a day over 29, and I know people tell you that all the time. So that's awesome. But yeah, you're right. Working out, people are like, oh, I really don't want to. But like you said, you feel better because of it, don't you?
I do. I feel 100% better. I've gotten back on a regimen. And when you're on a regimen, it just keeps you like, it just keeps me focused. So I'm drinking my water and minding my business. Okay.
There you go. Yeah. And if you're mentally, it affects your mental health in a positive way, your physical health, and that can actually affect your financial health. And we've done shows on that in the past. Yes. And I know that's a common theme you like to bring up. So that's really good. And today we're talking about making sure you keep family harmony. I like how you put that in the opening. You said, make sure your wishes don't cause World War III at the next Thanksgiving. If something should happen to you, what's that estate plan? Have you communicated it? And again, I'm going to say this again. Estate planning isn't just about or for the ultra wealthy. Obviously, the more you have, the more detailed and important it can become. But it's really about avoiding confusion, protecting your loved ones, and I think maybe most importantly, keeping the peace. Because I think, Nicole, we've all heard the stories, right? Siblings fighting over a fishing boat that dad or grandpa had, or someone contesting a will over dad's old coin collection. Yeah. And so you want to keep family harmony. And today we're going to talk about how to create that legacy plan. I know you're going to give us some great tips and advice. It's not just about dollars, like our title suggests for today's show. It's about clarity, communication, making sure your story ends with dignity, not drama. I mean, everybody wants their families taken care of. You don't want to leave them in a bad situation. Right?
Absolutely not. And you don't want them fighting over tangible things.
The little things.
They will take with them when they pass away.
Right. So, how do we prevent that, though?
So when you look at estate planning through a strictly legal lens, you're missing the heartbeat of the whole process. As a financial professional, let me tell you something. The paperwork isn't there to protect the dollars. It's there to protect relationships. I always tell people, unity is the secret weapon. It really is, because if we unify, it's so much more powerful than negativity. And that's been my experience. When a loved one passes away, grief does strange things to a family, Tony. It makes people hold on to physical objects because they are desperately trying to hold on to a memory. If mom's will doesn't say who gets her wedding china or a simple plate, suddenly becomes a symbol of who loved mom more. That's when emotions fill the blanks, and that's when families fracture. When my mom passed away, I have two sisters. I'm the oldest. And I am not the person to exercise my authority. I don't do that. But my sisters say I do. But anyway.
Of course they do.
Of course they do. They're like, you're a bossy. You want to boss everything. And I'm just like, I'm the family manager by default. So look, this is what we're going to do. But I wanted to be fair in everything when it came to my mom's things. And she had a lot of things my dad bought her over the years. They were married for, I'm 45. They were married for 47 years. Wow. So we had a lot of things to distribute, and she was really close with a couple of her friends. So when we were going, when we finally decided to kind of like go through her things, which was almost 3 years later, we just cleaned out her closet like last year.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, we waited. I don't know why, but we did. But when we finally just decided to clean up and just kind of get things out, we called her friends over, and I wanted to be fair, you know? And so I think that's important, but a well-written plan stops fights before they start by taking the guesswork and the emotional baggage completely out of the room. So what I tell people is you need to have radical clarity on asset allocations by specifically naming who gets sentimental items. Yes, down to the old watch or the family photo albums, you remove the opportunity for anyone to argue about intentions. You've spoken for yourself. So put that in the will, put that in some type of directive. The next thing is using the right legal tools. We don't just stop at a basic will. Utilizing comprehensive estate planning tools like explicit beneficiary designations, transfer on death deeds for the lake house and healthcare proxies ensures your exact medical and financial wishes are legally locked in. Last but not least, I talk about a solid foundation of asset protection when we're talking about estate planning. True risk management means ensuring your wealth transfer is smooth, like butter, tax efficient, and insulated from probate court drama. When the transition is seamless, there's no room for legal battles. So ultimately, Tony, clarity is the highest form of kindness you can show your family. A rock solid plan allows your kids to sit down at Thanksgiving next year, share memories, and miss whoever they want to miss instead of glaring across the table at each other over legal disputes. Even if they're sitting, they're probably even going to even sit at the same table. You know, so many families like just disrupt because of things.
Isn't that sad? And I saw it happen with my dad's family. I mean, my grandpa and grandma on my dad's side, everybody loved each other. Great family gatherings every year. And then grandma passed away. Then grandpa passed away. And when grandpa passed away, two of the brothers aren't talking because nope, dad said I get his truck. Nope, dad said I get his truck. What I see, Nicole, and everything you said just reaffirms communication is key and having clear and set. Bring the kids in while you're still alive. Nobody wants to deal with this stuff. Nobody wants to talk. Nobody wants to hear about their parents passing or their grandparents passing. But if he had sat down the kids and communicated with them all, instead of making one the head of the trust and not communicating anything with any of the other family members or talking about much, that can lead to disaster. So, and you mentioned probate. You want to avoid that legal costs, legal disputes. You don't want to leave your family with all that. That brings me to my next question, Nicole. What's the role of a trust versus a will, and why do you need both?
So when people think about estate planning, they usually think a will is the ultimate shield. But here's the hard truth. A will is basically a letter to a probate judge. It tells the court exactly how you want things split up. The court still has to open the hood, verify the engine, and approve the distribution. Now, if you want your legacy to bypass that courtroom drama entirely, keep things private, and transition seamlessly, you need to understand the power of a trust. Think of a modern estate plan as a comprehensive risk management strategy. You don't pick one and ignore the other. You use them strategically to protect your peace of mind. So let's talk about the trust. This is your VIP express lane where you don't even have to look at the probate judge, right?
Right.
So for major assets like your primary home, if you have a lake home, your primary investments accounts, etc., you want them held inside of a revocable living trust. Because the trust technically owns the assets when you pass away, there is no change in ownership that requires a judge's signature. Your successor trustee steps in quietly, pays the final bills, and then distributes the assets according to your exact instructions. No court, no public record, no delay. That's the trust situation. Now, the will is your safety net. The pour over will is what I'm going to talk about. Have you ever heard of the pour over will?
You know what? I've heard the term, but what is that exactly?
So even if you have a trust, you still need a specific type of will called a pour over will. This acts as a legal safety net for anything you forgot to title in the name of your trust while you were alive. Like a new vehicle, you was talking about your dad's truck, your brother. Yeah. Like, I'm just so sad that your brothers aren't talking because of a truck.
Yeah, it was my dad's brothers and my grandpa. But yes, exactly. Two of them are talking because of a truck.
Because of a truck.
Is that crazy?
That is so petty.
Yeah.
And we can get petty. You know, we get petty when it comes to certain things.
In the heat of the moment, they argued about it. And, you know, now looking back, I'm sure neither one of them care, but there's still that animosity is still there.
Yeah. They don't want to come down off the ego. But that pour over will, this acts as a legal safety net for anything you forgot to title in the name of your trust while you were alive. Like I said, like a new vehicle or a random bank account. When you pass, this will catches those stray assets and pours them into your trust so they can be distributed under the same private rules, though those specific items may still have to pass through probate court first. So at the end of the day, leaving a will without a trust is like leaving your family a map to the courthouse. So think about a properly funded trust is like giving your family members the key to the front door and not having to deal with the petty, ratchet eagle stuff that we have to deal with if you don't have that, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think people always think, well, it's in my will, it'll be covered. But beneficiary designations take precedent over a will, and we'll probably get to that too. A trust will take precedent. So have a trust, avoid probate court because it takes time.
Too much time.
The stuff won't transfer instantly. It has to go through this whole legal process. It'll cost a lot of money and take a lot of time. And that's not what you want to leave your loved ones with. It's just a headache. So let's talk about powers of attorney and healthcare. Powers of attorney and directives. Why are they just as important?
Well, estate planning isn't just about death. It's also about incapacity. And when I say incapacity, incapacity refers to the lack of physical, mental, or legal ability to perform specific tasks, make informed decisions, or manage one's own affair. Now, true asset protection to me, Tony, is protecting your wishes while you're living. So whenever people meet with me, one of the first things I tell them about, and I know it seems minute, they're like, why this girl talking about a healthcare proxy? Do you know that this guy in our community, like on the islands where we're from, he passed away in a car accident or whatever the case may be. But if he had lived and was hospitalized, who would have made the decision on if he lived or if he, you know, if he was in ICU, if they pulled the plug, if they, like, you have to think about those things. And he was super young. So don't think that this is for old people. This conversation is not for old people. This is for
everybody.
all people. So estate planning isn't just about death. And like I said, a modern estate plan pairs these asset distribution tools with lifetime protection. One is the financial power of attorney, appointing someone to handle your business and bills if you fall ill. My mom was the power of attorney. She had 9 brothers, and her mom had 11 kids. She had 1 sister, and her sister was at the top of the list, and she was at the bottom. So she literally took care of all of her brothers, the ones like right under her. She has 2 small brothers, and then she had 2 or 3 older brothers. She took care of all of them. And that's when I learned about financial power of attorney, because she was power of attorney over my Uncle Miga. We call him Uncle Miga. And she used to buy groceries for him. She paid his bills, his doctor's appointments, everything. My Uncle Bright, she was the power of attorney. So you have to have someone who you trust that's not going to steal your money and do what they want with it and actually really care about your well-being. The next thing is the healthcare proxy. The healthcare proxy, or the advance directive, is just making sure your medical wishes are honored without forcing your family to make heartbreaking guesses during a crisis. Some people get mad if, you know, the girlfriend is the healthcare proxy directive, because she may have her own, you know, intentions or motives. And she's like, well, he's on the, you know, what's the machine called, Tony? Not ICU, but when they're in like a coma and they can't, you know, pull the plug. And the family members, if he made her his girlfriend or vice versa, boyfriend, the power of attorney or the healthcare proxy, their word sticks. Doesn't matter what the daughter says or the son says. So those things are super important.
Yeah, you're right on that. So we've talked about the financial power of attorney, the healthcare advance directive or healthcare proxy. Some call it a healthcare power of attorney, medical power of attorney. What about digital assets and non-financial stuff? I think that's what trips people up a lot, doesn't it?
It does. So when we think about digital assets, how many people you know that has passed away, but they still have a Facebook page? And so that's basically what we're talking about. This hits right at the heart of modern legacy planning. And let me tell you, it is the biggest blind spot I see people leave behind. We talk so much about protecting the brick and mortar assets, the house, the annuities, the retirement accounts. But what about your digital footprint? Think about it. Your life is stored in the cloud, your family photos, your business emails, your crypto keys, and yes, even that perfect 10-year Spotify list. But if you don't build a digital gatekeeper into your estate plan, those memories and assets vanish into cyberspace. The second you pass away, or worse, they get locked behind a password screen forever. So what I tell people is think about, there's something called, I'm going to tell you the different things that you should think about when you're thinking about estate planning. You can't protect what you haven't accounted for. So you need to create a secure, comprehensive digital inventory. So this includes your financial value accounts. So like your online banking, your PayPal, your Venmo, your reward points, your airline miles, your cryptocurrency wallets. You need to make sure that you have someone that could access your passwords for these different things to either disconnect it or basically get rid of it when you're gone. You know, you need to think about that too, because social media has become such a, you know, major thing in our lives, and it has sped time up. You need to think about, instead of writing passwords on a yellow notepad, use a secure encrypted password manager like 1Password or Bitwarden. Bitwarden is spelled BITWARDE. And these platforms actually have emergency access features. You could designate a trusted legacy contact who can request access to your master vault if you pass away or become incapacitated. It keeps your data completely secure while you're living, but gives your family the master key when they need it. So that's something that you should definitely think about. The major tech giants have actual built-in tools into their platforms for this. So like Apple, you can add a legacy contact in your iPhone settings. So if something happens to you, they can access your photos, your messages, and notes without a death certificate and a special access key. Your Google account manager, you can tell Google what to do with your photos, Gmail, and Drive files if your account goes dark for a certain number of months. With Facebook, it's called a Facebook legacy contact. You can choose someone to manage your memorized profile or delete the account entirely. So a modern estate plan requires modern legal language. When you work with an attorney to draft up your updated will or your trust, you must explicitly include a revised Uniform Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act. That's a long word, right? So R-U-F-A-D as in David, A-A, that's the clause that you want to think about when it comes to that. This gives your executor explicit legal authority to manage, download, or delete your digital assets. Without this specific wording, tech companies can legally lock your family out, citing federal privacy laws. So at the end of the day, leaving your digital life unorganized means forcing your family to guess passwords or battle tech companies during the worst days of their lives. Taking an hour to set up your digital legacy is a profound act of risk management and, I think, kindness.
It is. And I think this is an area where most people don't get it, especially my age and older, because the digital world kind of they're not used to having to deal with it as part of estate or legacy planning. Making sure someone that you trust has access to passwords or information after you're gone. I like how you put it. You know, you talked about inventory, your digital kingdom. I like that. Yes. And password managers, legacy contacts. I didn't know about that all these things like Apple and Google and Facebook had that feature. I've got to go in and do that. Mm. So that's really good. And maybe have a digital executor. And I've got to do that, make one of my kids that. And I'm going to put that Uniform Fiduciary Access in our trust. My wife and I don't have that. That's another great tip. These are all great tips. Now, what's the cost emotionally and financially of not planning? I mean, we've illustrated it a little bit, but that's huge, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Tony. When we talk about the cost of not planning, everyone automatically points to the checkbook. But after years of helping families navigate asset protection, I can tell you that the financial toll is only half the story. The emotional bankruptcy is what truly tears families apart. So let's talk about that. What's the true cost of procrastination? When you die without a plan or without just a basic will, your estate is forced into probate court. In South Carolina, I'm in Georgia, so my resident license is in Georgia, so I'm going to talk about Georgia. But in Georgia, statutory filing fees under recent updates like Senate Bill 232 are just the tip of the iceberg. Between court costs, mandatory newspaper publication fees to notify creditors, asset appraisals, and executor commissions, it's like the cost skyrockets quickly. So if your family has to hire a probate attorney, typical uncontested estates cost anywhere from $3,000 to $8,000 just in legal fees. That's a pretty penny.
That's especially real money.
2026, you might be like, $3,000 is a lot of money just to handle something that you could have handled while you're alive. If a family member files a dispute or challenges the estate, those fees can easily jump north of $15,000. So on average, total probate costs swallow 3 to 7% of your entire estate's value. So so of course they don't want to tell you about this because they get a piece of the pie too.
Right.
That money is literally stripped away from your children or your grandchildren. Why would you give a stranger $15,000 or 7% of yours? That just doesn't make any sense.
You want it to go to your loved ones.
Yes. The emotional drain is also the real tragedy. So while the court is draining the bank account, the delay is draining your family spirit. Probate isn't a weekend project. It's routinely dragging you into court for 6 to 12 months, sometimes years if things get messy. So think about what that timeline does to a grieving family. They are stuck in a legal holding battle, unable to fully close a chapter or heal. When there is no clear plan, uncertainty breeds suspicion. So people start getting stuff in their mind. You know how people start thinking, when the mind is already kind of sad and things like that, it's easy for things to creep in and kind of tell you stuff like and make you think, somebody's against you or whatever the case may be. Silence creates anxiety. Suddenly siblings, who used to get along are looking at each other through the lens of a court battle or side-eyeing each other, not talking to each other. I don't know what I would do if I couldn't talk to my sisters. I talk to my sisters all the time, and I don't want anything like this to come between us. Right. So the reality is grief does strange things to the human psyche. When emotions are running at an all-time high and clarity is at an all-time low, families fracture over things that have nothing to do with money, leaving wounds that standard Thanksgiving dinners can never heal. So a simple plan today is create a modern estate plan. It is the ultimate act of risk management. It's not about predicting the future. It's about insulating your family from the chaos of the unknown. When you take the time to set up a properly structured trust, clear beneficiary designations, and an ironclad powers of attorney today, you are purchasing an insurance policy for your family's peace of mind tomorrow. Don't let procrastination write a check your family has to cash emotionally and financially. Like when you leave, you don't want to, you know, while you're here, yes, all good. But when you leave, you don't want them fussing and fighting and carrying on and going to Facebook. And I don't know why people, like when people get hurt and stuff, Tony, why the first thing they do is go to Facebook and cry on Facebook? Like I don't get that. That's just weird to me, but yeah,
it is. It is to me as well. People put this off. Nobody likes to talk about it or deal with it because you don't like to think about your own passing or a loved one's passing, and your kids might not want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it with their parents a lot of times, but it's so important. And I'll go back to, I think the key component here is communication and having a trust and a will in place and just getting it done. Have those powers of attorney in place. You know, you've worked hard, you've sacrificed, but, you know, I think people worry about these things. And so this has been a great discussion. So I know that when you work on retirement income plans, part of it has to be legacy planning. And you're always recommending your clients have these powers of attorney and healthcare directives in place. That is critical that they do this. And people might think, well, what's, you know, what do you get out of it? Are you making money off estate planning? No, that's not, you know, you're not directly making any money off estate planning. It's just part, you've got, it's part of preparing for your future financially and your family. I mean, if you, you know, you, again, you work so hard to build this nest egg and you can't take it with you.
You sure can.
I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul.
Never seen it. That's your favorite thing to say. That's your favorite thing to say. Yeah, you can't take that money with you. So just, you know, at the Thanksgiving table, what you should do is you should be talking about these things. Hey, guys, one thing we're guaranteed in this life is death. We're going to die. So when we die, we want to be prepared. And don't be afraid to have those conversations. I mean, it's not a morbid conversation. It's reality. So I think those are the type of conversations that you should have at Thanksgiving.
I would agree. And we always, everybody uses sitting around the Thanksgiving table. I love how that's always the example because that really gives us an image of the family getting together. And again, it's communication and going over all the details. And you, there's some things in there that I did not know about, especially the digital legacy stuff. I'm glad you talked about that today. You're a lot younger than I am, Nicole. And I like learning about that. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners do as well. But Nicole, I know that you love hearing from our listeners out there. So before we go, I want to make sure our listeners know how to get a hold of you. And I know that you offer a no charge consultation. I love that. There's a couple of different ways people can do that. They can call the number, which is 888-919-0024. I'll say that number again, 888-919-0024, and set up a consultation with Nicole and the team there. Also, they can go to the website and they can access your schedule right from there and see what you have available. It's probably the best way to do it. And that's prosperityplaybookradio.com.
It is. Thank you so much, Tony.
During this show, Nicole Gibbs provides general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and is not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and products or services should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory services. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Ross Dixon. By contacting Ross Dixon, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.